And good morning. Welcome to JFK Spotlight on Health. It's where we highlight the groundbreaking work that's being done at JFK University Medical Center in Edison. It's part of the Hackensack Meridian Health Network. My name is Joel Katz, and my guest once again, I believe we've spoken two or three times, I'm not sure, but Dr. Jonathan Knowles is here. He's the Chief of Colorectal Surgery at JFK University Medical Center. Good day, sir.
Good morning. It's very nice to be invited back. So this is number three.
It is number three. That's what I thought.
It might feel like you've spoken to me too many times, but I hope you can do another.
It's like 100 times to me. So today, this is the title, right? When Your Butt Bites Back.
That's exactly it. The last couple of times we talked about some major things, you know, colorectal cancer in young people and the kind of complicated surgery that we can offer people at JFK. But a lot of the other work that I do is what people talk about as more minor things, and certainly in the industry people think about as minor things, but they're often very major in people's lives. This is when you're having an argument with your own butt and it's causing you problems. And these are common things, so I thought we'd delve into that a little deeper today.
Yeah, we'll talk about it. The unpleasant things, obviously, and people don't want to talk about it until they have to, like you said. And it's not something that you expect. And then when it happens, you got to take care of it. So we'll talk about the colon, the rectum, and the anus. These are all the areas that you deal with. So let's start with the biggest pains in the butt that you deal with on a regular basis.
I think I don't want to say the insurance companies, because I think that's unfair, but in the medical profession, in the colorectal profession, the pain in the butt, the two things that probably we get most of are hemorrhoids and fissures. These are incredibly common. You know, half of the people in the world will get hemorrhoids at some point in their life. Mm-hmm. A lot of people who have hemorrhoids or think they have hemorrhoids actually have fissures. And the two things cause similar problems, which is pain and bleeding from the anus, but are treated very differently.
Well, hemorrhoids is something you hear about all the time. Everybody knows that word. And I guess fissures also, I've heard of that, but I couldn't differentiate the two.
Yeah, and I think, you know, that's one of the things that we see a lot of. A lot of the problems that we have is everything that's a pain in the butt gets labeled as hemorrhoids by patients and to a certain extent by some non-specialist practitioners. And, you know, it's such a common problem that really isn't a surprise. And you put pain in anus into the internet and you will get some information about hemorrhoids. And you walk into CVS or whichever pharmacy you choose, you will get huge numbers of products that will supposedly help with the pain that you have in your backside. So it's very understandable that people assume everything relates to hemorrhoids, but it may well not. And I think that's where people like me can actually make a really big difference.
Yeah, because if you can't see it, that's why. You can't see it yourself. Unless you really, you know, work hard with a mirror, and you give the example going into the pharmacy, like if you cut your hand or whatever injury you have, you can show it to somebody. You can't just walk into, you know, stand up on the pharmacist table and show. So I think that's why we don't know that, because we don't know what any of this looks like unless you Google it, as you said.
That's it. And just to one of the things about smartphones, I mean, they're incredibly useful, but the ability that people have to take a picture of their own anus has not necessarily been an advance for the medical profession, because people are determined to show me pictures of things on their phone, and I'm going to end up having a look, and I don't need to see the pictures from the last 2 years.
I didn't even think of that. Yeah, right. Just take a phone shot. Selfie.
That's it. I'm not convinced it's an advance, but the difference between the two is sort of fairly simple, in that a fissure is probably the easiest thing to explain.
Okay.
It's basically a cut in the skin of the anus, and it's usually only pretty small, about the size of a grain of rice, but every time you poop, that little cut opens up and bleeds and causes pain, and that area is very prone to spasm, and when things are in spasm, they don't heal very well. And you get this basically chronic cut, and they can be there for months and months or even years.
Yeah, because there's a lot of movement down there, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
You can't avoid it, and often people do avoid it, and then they get constipated, and then when they poop, it's a bigger poop, and it makes it even worse. And they get into this vicious cycle of pain and bleeding and constipation.
Can a fissure heal on its own?
Can do. So they sort of get separated into... It's not uncommon for people to have what we would call an acute small fissure. It's literally just a cut. You might have got very constipated for whatever reason. Maybe you had a medication, or you change your diet, or you go on holiday or something, and you haven't pooped, and you have a big poop, and you get a bit of bleeding afterwards, mm-hmm. And some pain, and then it'll heal within a day or 2 days, and that's the normal cycle. But that cycle can become abnormal, where the cut remains unhealed for whatever reason. That area is just prone to not great healing in some cases, and it persists, and what you get is the persistent pain and the persistent bleeding. And really, anyone who has bleeding, we discussed this in our previous talks, but anyone who has bleeding from their back passage, they need a colonoscopy. So you should get these things checked out anyway, but the fissures that go away, you're going to be done within 24 hours, 48 hours, it should go.
Okay.
So if it's persisting for longer than that, you absolutely do need to seek help.
So in any case, if there's any type of bleeding and doesn't go away within 48 hours, do you need to get it checked out?
Yeah, and I think really if you get any bleeding at all, you should get it checked out. Unless you're having regular colonoscopies and you've had a fairly recent colonoscopy in the last few years, you really do need to get it checked out.
So there are certain issues that you might have that may cause you to bleed occasionally, but not a lot. And then, it's sporadic.
Absolutely. The other thing we're talking about, hemorrhoids, mm-hmm. they tend to have much less pain, but you can get bleeding for a few days, and it may occur every few months or so, and then it goes away and gets a little better, and then it comes back. And that's a fairly normal thing with hemorrhoids. The area that we're talking about, the anus and the sphincters, they have a lot of blood vessels in them, and the surface lining of them is very delicate, and a little bit like the lining of the nose has lots of blood vessels in it and is delicate, and you can get some nosebleeds occasionally. It's similar-ish in the anus. I mean, obviously the nose and the anus should be kept as far apart as possible, but they have some similarities.
Yes, and that's not hard to do, thankfully.
Yeah.
I heard that with hemorrhoids, you can get the hemorrhoid. Well, we were talking about the causes of hemorrhoids, but one of the causes, you can clear this up, is if you're pushing too hard when you're going number two, but it seems to me that would be more like a fissure, based on what you've said already.
So they are both caused by some similar things. So
okay.
Straining, which you're talking about, spending a long period of time on the toilet. It's always a little hard to explain, but a lot of people will have a bowel motion, mm-hmm. and then when they finished, rather than standing up and cleaning and going, they'll sit there and they'll read on their phone for a little longer. That then stimulates more fecal material to drop down into the rectum, which will then be pushed out. And that cycle where you're spending 20 minutes or 30 minutes on the toilet, mm-hmm. It might be the smallest room in the house, and it might be the only place you can get peace and quiet to catch up on the latest sports news or whatever, but that cycle is probably not healthy for your...
Interesting. So just sitting there after you've gone, and even if you've wiped already, just sitting there is unhealthy.
Yeah, because you're triggering the bowel to continue to try to empty itself.
Because you're on the toilet. Now, if you were to pull your pants up, close the seat, and sit down, that would be fine. You're talking about because you're sitting on the toilet seat.
Yeah. Giving your body all of the information, all of the triggers that you're here for a reason, which is to empty yourself out.
So it's psychological, or it's psychological and physical?
It's really a reflex. We talked about what made me come into medical practice and do colorectal surgery in the first podcast. But I find that it's a hugely complicated interaction between brain, unconscious reflexes, intestine, and all of those functions I find fascinating. And there are multiple triggers that will make you want to empty your bowels, and you can override various stages, you know, and we all do this, you know. If you're on a long-haul flight, nobody wants to go for a number two, you know, so you're going to hold on until you get off at the other end, you know, and you get to your hotel room or whatever. That's a, you know, almost everyone does that. There are things that where they, some people don't want to go to the toilet to have a number two at work. And one of the, these are really common natural things, and your body will allow you to do that. But if you have a tendency to hemorrhoids or to constipation or to straining, one of the worst things that you can do is override your body telling you to do a number two, because that will then mean that you miss your timed coordinated reflexes. When everything is matched up and telling you to do a big poop, you want to go, because you'll get the best emptying in the quickest, shortest time, and you can then get up, get on with your day. You can wait 6 hours, and you will be able to then go, but not everything is quite so coordinated, and you might then need to strain. Your fecal matter will have dried out more, which is then harder to push out, and you're more likely to cause things like fissures and hemorrhoids.
Wow, that's. I just thought you go whenever you go, and if you can hold it for a while, that's fine. You're saying you're kind of on a schedule, and you it's best to stick to that schedule. Obviously, you're not going to hold it in for no reason. But as you said, if you're on a plane or you're in a car or you can't find a bathroom, that's an issue that can cause problems. Especially if you are you know, already have an issue with hemorrhoids or something of that nature.
That's really it. You know, the body is very resilient and works very well, and it's supposed to allow you on occasions to poop when you need to poop and avoid pooping when you can't. But if you're consistently doing that, so on a regular basis, you're at work, you need to poop, you don't poop because you're at work, that's probably not great. Whereas, you know, avoiding it because you're going on a long-haul flight is probably not such a problem, unless you're somebody who has fissures or hemorrhoids.
With me, Dr. Jonathan Knowles, Chief of Colorectal Surgery at JFK University Medical Center. Well, we talked about the hemorrhoids and the fissures, and then there's others. Well, there's lots of things, but we were going to talk about the abscess and the fistulas?
Yes.
And how they're different from what we just talked about.
Yeah, so I think one of the things that amazes me, so an abscess is an infection, right, that's caused pus. It's basically a pimple, but on a grander scale.
And that's what people would think a hemorrhoid is.
Yes, absolutely. But a hemorrhoid is actually not infected. It's just a swelling or irritation in the blood vessels within the anus that may then swell enough to come outside the anus.
So that is the abscess.
So that's a hemorrhoid, whereas an abscess is a pimple, basically.
Pimple, right.
It's a collection of pus. And I think one of the things that's surprising is you would expect the anus to get infected more often because of what it does. But in fact, it's very well designed to resist infection, but it's not perfect. Nothing is perfect, but there are some glands within the anus that are thought to probably be the origin of these abscesses. They can get blocked up, and then bacteria within them can multiply, set up infection, and that's where the pus comes from. And then the abscess will typically appear on the outside of the anus and will either burst or, because of pain and fever, inability to sit down, you'll go to an ED and somebody will drain it there for you, or a colorectal surgeon will drain it there for you.
And so that's not something that just will go away by itself either?
Not usually. One of the problems is by the time these things have got big enough to burst, they're pretty uncomfortable. If they burst on their own, they may well heal on their own as well. And if we drain them, they may well heal on their own too. And somewhere in the region of a quarter to 15% of them will persist and form what's called a fistula. Mm. And those things are a little hard to understand, but basically you get an abscess. And then following on from that, you get persistent discharge of pus from a little hole just on the outside of the anus.
So it is an abscess, which is a pimple, and then there's a hole in the pimple.
It's always a little difficult to explain, but the infection arises in these anal glands, which are within the anus. as they swell up, they burst onto the outside of the anus. So there is, in effect, an opening between the inside of the anus and the outside of the anus. And that originally had the abscess, but once the pus has come out, the tract never really fully heals and gets chronically infected, which causes pus to be discharged out from it.
On a regular basis. It never stops.
Yeah,
I don't mean continually. I just mean it's not something that is going to go away.
That's it. So you get this sort of persistent small amount of pussy discharge, you know, just a couple of mils, like less than a teaspoon a day, that'll sort of stain your underwear or cause discomfort.
Okay. And now, is this what you consider serious, or is it just something that you need to get taken care of?
That's a good question, really. All of these things that we're talking about today, I think when we chose the topic for today, we deliberately chose things that are not considered serious. So they're not cancerous. They're not going to affect the length of your life or your sort of overall body health. But it doesn't mean that they're not important, and they can certainly affect the quality of your life. So they are not serious, but they're things that we can help with, often by doing much more smaller procedures. Things that may take just 30 minutes and you're home within a couple of hours of surgery, we can do things to help. So not serious, but worth investing time in to get fixed.
So when it comes to something like the fistulas, is that something that with surgery, it's nearly 100%? I mean, what could go wrong there?
All of the conditions of the anus, the benign conditions of the anus that we're talking about, can be a little difficult to fix. You know, cure rates are typically around about 80% for fistulas and often can require two or three surgeries. The surgeries are small, but they're technical and you have to do the right ones. So the patients, it can take 3 or 4 months to fully heal up a fistula, and it may take two or three procedures. But the procedures are all minor procedures, but it's just an investment in time and effort and trust in your specialist.
All right, so all the things that we've mentioned, what can we do to avoid these things? I mean, you did mention a few things, you know, don't sit on the toilet too long, but is there a daily, I don't know, routine or certain way of cleaning that we can be more aware of so it doesn't lead to that? And I think people who have never had this problem are like, I don't need to do that. But when you do, I would guess the people who have had the problem are like, yeah, you're darn right, you should be doing it.
I think there's nothing worse than for patients who have constipation and hemorrhoids or fissures to meet someone who says, I go once a day, I'm just there for 5 minutes, job done, and then I go to work, I'm out of here, it's great.
Right.
I think that drives these people absolutely crazy because they don't get it. So I think there's some fairly simple things. You know, when you get the message to poop, you should listen to it. I think we always used to call it the call to stool back in the UK, which is a little bit more poetic. But yes, you're supposed to listen to that message. When you've finished pooping, stand up, clean yourself in whatever way you want, and get on with your day. And that's better than, you may occasionally have to come back and poop again, but that's probably overall better than staying and waiting and trying to poop more.
Mm-hmm.
If you get constipated, try some laxatives or stool softeners. You can get them pretty easily from over the counter. But the first things are just your diet. Plenty of bran, plenty of fiber, plenty of vegetables especially. And those things will help you produce soft bowel motions. And if you are regularly constipated, seek some help and just try to build a pattern, because you will never, if you keep trying to change, if you keep adding a laxative one day and then you don't take it the next day, or you go to work and then you avoid going to the toilet one day and then you try to go the next day, it's not about that. It's about changing things and persisting with the change. So if you're going to change your diet, you've got to change your diet for life. If you're going to change your toilet bowel habits, you've got to change them for life. So I would say keep your feet up off the floor on a little footstool. That helps your body angle.
Really?
Don't sit there. Yeah.
Even if you're tall enough.
Even if you're tall enough.
Oh.
You're trying to.
You want the knees up higher.
Knees up higher, exactly.
Interesting.
You want your back straight. What we're basically trying to recreate is squatting in a field. And you want to imagine that there's a lion just around the corner that's waiting to get you, so you shouldn't hang around for too long.
Okay, that's a good thing to think of. That'll get you going. That'll clean you out.
Exactly, right? If that doesn't fix your constipation, nothing will.
So we should put grass in the bathroom to get that.
Yeah, no. Exactly. A little artificial.
You know, grass. You said something a couple minutes ago about clean yourself however you want. So that made me think, all right, toilet paper, bidet, does it matter? Because a lot of people have bidets, and I've never used one, and I don't know, you know, it seems like it would be better because it seems like you'd get cleaner, but based on what you said and that, you know, that one line, it doesn't matter. So you can speak to that.
Well, yeah, I mean, it sort of does and it doesn't, but it's people get quite emotive about their choices of cleaning regime.
Mm-hmm.
So the thing that I'm not a fan of, especially if I start there, is wipes, which have become very popular in really the sort of last 5 years. I mean, obviously they've been around a long time, but it's not so much how you clean yourself, it's how much you clean yourself. Because if you're wiping a lot, you will get micro abrasions, small scratches in the anus, and that can cause a lot of itching and irritation and soreness, may lead to bleeding. And I think one of the things that I find in my practice is people overclean because they're really worried about the area being dirty, and the area is designed to have poop go through it and is remarkably good at cleaning itself. So one of the key things is when you stand up after pooping, you're triggering a whole series of events that will close the muscles of the anus so that no more poop comes out. Now, if you immediately try to wipe yourself, those muscles won't have fully closed, and you'll actually be cleaning the inside of the anus, and that doesn't actually help you. And one of the things that's noticeable is as people get older and the muscles, all of the muscles in your body get a little weaker and a little slower, it'll take you longer to clean yourself because those muscles will take longer to close, and you haven't left enough time for them to fully close before you're going through your cleaning process.
So something you said earlier, you said before, when right about the time you said clean yourself how you want, you said, you know, do what you do and then stand up, clean yourself however you want. And I thought you just said it backwards by accident, or I thought it was backwards. So you're saying you should stand up and wipe yourself, not wipe yourself and then stand up.
Correct.
And I thought you would wipe until there's nothing else, you know, nothing else showing on the paper.
You know, again, if I
never heard
the squatting in a field metaphor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, before the invention of bidets and wipes and, you know, things, you basically stop pooping by standing up and getting on with your day. So if you recreate that by standing up, you're telling your body that this time has finished.
Right. Nobody knows this. I mean, this is not something I've ever heard in my life, that you would stand up first.
There you go.
There you go.
You weren't expecting to learn anything from me at all today.
No, I learned a lot. I did. And the part that they don't sit on there after you're done. I never thought that would be harmful either.
Yeah.
So you want to get in, stand up, clean, get out. That's the message today, which I think, I can't say nobody knows it, but I would venture to guess a lot of people don't know that that's the proper way. And we're out of time. So we're going to have to leave it at that.
Well, it was a pleasure to talk to you.
Yes, you too. Dr. Jonathan Knowles, Chief of Colorectal Surgery at JFK University Medical Center. Thank you so much.
It was a pleasure. I'll speak to you soon.
For more info, go to jfkmc.org, or for a podcast of this show, you go to foxsportsradionewjersey.com or magic983.com. JFK Spotlight on Health is brought to you by Hackensack Meridian Health. Keep getting better. I'm Joel Katz. We'll talk again next week.